The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to The Lawyer's Edge, a program that seeks to answer your questions on civil, criminal, constitutional, and political legal matters with attorneys Robert J. Slama and David Trotty. Robert J. Slama is a U.S. veteran and prominent attorney who has served as counsel for some of Jacksonville's most high-profile cases. Robert Slama is a member of the Florida Bar and the U.S. Supreme Court Bar Associations. He's argued cases in Florida, as well as constitutional cases, before the highest court in the land. David Trotty is a Florida Bar attorney, practicing since 2000, and is a certified civil and family law mediator and a qualified arbitrator in the state of Florida. His practice focuses on family and criminal law issues and mediation. He's a former Marine who served in Japan and the U.S. Embassy in Austria and Tanzania. Also a federal police officer with the Central Intelligence Agency. It's now time to discuss today's legal topics and issues and how they impact your family and small business. Now, live from the WBOB studios, here's attorneys Robert J. Slama and David Trotty.
And welcome to The Lawyer's Edge. I'm not Robert.
Good afternoon, Jacksonville, and welcome to A Lawyer's Edge. Today, David Trotty and I, of course, Roger's in the studio, and we're going to be talking about a number of things. But we're going to begin as we did before. Now we are in the new year. We're starting out with a deep understanding that now we've got, what, about 11 months to try to fix things, get things right? So, David, let me ask you as we kind of start this off. In family law, people are always looking to change things. But you and I know that you can't change things just because, that you have to ultimately, you got to get over the legal hurdles and you got to be able to thread the needle. And the needle is different depending upon the area. So when we start and someone now is saying, you know, I went through this all last year. I was dealing with this issue and this was not real fun. I want to start fixing some things. I want to change some things.
Well, you broke up there, Robert, a little bit. I don't know if David was able to understand the question.
I think I do. You know, we're talking about modifications. And to get the key to the courthouse, you have to show a substantial change in circumstances. It's a two-pronged test. You can't just come back to us a year after your divorce, 6 months after your divorce, 3 years after your divorce, and say, you know what, I'm tired of paying child support at this amount, or I'm tired of paying alimony at this amount, or I want more time sharing with my children. It takes a lot more than that. It takes a substantial change of circumstances. It's a two-pronged test. And what you have to do is you have to show and prove to the court that since the entry of the final judgment, the last final judgment, there has been a substantial, material, and here's the key, permanent change of circumstances since the entry of the last final judgment. If you don't show that, you don't even get a key to the first door to be able to then prove your case of whether or not there is a modification. Robert?
Were you able to hear that, Robert?
All right, so here we are.
Okay.
So let's say we're talking about a child support issue. So what we have is dad comes into the office and he wants to change child support. He says, "Look, I can't afford $1,000 a month in child support. My children are 5 and 6 years old, and I just can't afford it anymore." So the first question that comes out of our mouth.
Well, do you see that often where the courts very often will demand more than the father has really to be able to contribute to his children's support, and probably heartbreaking because he wants to provide for them but just doesn't have the resources?
Well, it's the child support that's established by the court is pursuant to the Florida statutes.
Okay.
So they take the party's incomes. And then they have allowable deductions, and after the allowable deductions, there's a chart in the Florida statutes that says this is the child support, minimum child support that both parents should be paying, and it's a total amount. And then that total amount is divided pro rata, or per the percentage of the party's net incomes.
Okay.
So dad might be paying 40% of the total. He might be paying 60%, 80%, 90%, or he might be paying 20%.
Okay.
We don't know. And there's a lot of factors that go into calculating the calculation of child support. But when they come into our office, they're saying, hey, I just can't afford it. Just can't afford it is not a substantial change in circumstances. Dad comes into the office and says, hey, I worked for Company X. Company X just closed down. I was making $60,000 a year. Now I'm unemployed. The first thing I'm going to ask him is, what efforts have you taken to get a new job?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I've applied. My resume is on Monster. I'm at Kelly Services or whatever employment agencies that are out there. And the best jobs that I can get are $30,000, $35,000 a year. Take it. Take the job. Yes, your arrears are accumulating at this time.
With interest, I would imagine.
Well, there is statutory interest, but at this time that hasn't come into play.
Okay.
Okay. But child support still continues to accrue until you file the supplemental petition to modify the child support. So once you do that, now do you have a substantial change in circumstance? Yes, you do. Your income has drastically reduced from $60,000 down to $30,000, $35,000 a year. Is it permanent? In this circumstance, yes, it is, because the only job you can get using your best efforts is a $30,000, $35,000 a year. So you file your supplemental petition. You file your financial affidavit. She files her financial affidavit. Child support's recalculated, and your child support is possibly reduced at that time.
Okay. All right. So it can be reduced, right?
It can be reduced, but you also have to be careful. When you go in, sometimes, depending on when your child support was calculated, it could go up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all depends on a lot of factors. When your final judgment was it entered pre-2008, pre-2010? Was it entered subsequent to 2010? Because the statutes have changed since then.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. Something that a lot of people have to face, you know, when they, you know, unfortunately terminate a marriage and a marriage relationship.
And what I have to say about modification of child support, whether you are the person receiving child support or the person paying child support, do not sit on that issue. Once you've lost a job, that's the big key. If you've lost a job due to no fault of your own, meaning it's not voluntary, hey, I just don't feel like working at $60,000 because I'm paying all this child support, that's a voluntary reduction of income.
And what do the courts do generally if you quit your job to avoid child support?
So sorry. You're going to be probably imputed at that same income.
Okay.
You know, quitting your job to avoid paying child support or alimony is not a reason to reduce reduce the obligation. So, but what you want to do is we have a person who has all good faith in paying their support, and they're making X amount, and their child support obligation or alimony obligation is say $1,500 a month total. They lose their job. They start paying that obligation out of their savings, or they start paying it out of their 401k. Well, what happens in this circumstances is they do not seek counsel, and they forget to file their petition, because child support or alimony cannot be modified before the date the supplemental petition is filed. So if you wait 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, that arrears continues to build and will continue to build until you file that supplemental petition to modify. So right when that circumstances happen, loss of a job, okay, or you find out that the other party has gotten a job that has substantially higher income, seek counsel. Determine whether the alimony or child support might have an opportunity to be reduced or recalculated, and file your supplemental petition.
Okay. It's The Lawyer's Edge with Robert Slama and David Trotty. And your calls as well at 904-222-TALK, 904-222-8255. This is WBOB.
Law firm dedicated to helping families. A law firm dedicated to you. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Hi, I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. For over 17 years, I've assisted the Jacksonville community by providing a full-service law firm for families, not the rich and powerful, but for everyday families like yours. Since 1998, I have handled some of the most complicated cases in Jacksonville, including Brenton Butler, and more recently the jury verdict in Jermaine DuBose. Whether it's family law, including divorce, custody, or bankruptcy, juvenile law, personal injury, probate, civil rights, or not-for-profit and churches, I'm dedicated to helping your family with your legal needs. I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. Call me anytime. My number is 904-296-1050, or you may text me at 838-8607. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Welcome back to The Lawyer's Edge. I'm Roger Henderson, along with attorneys Robert J. Slava and David Trotty. And Robert, out of the studio right now, still dealing with some of very important family matters. Taking your calls, too, at 904-222-TALK. And David Trotty in the studio is with us. Robert, you hearing us okay?
Absolutely.
All right, perfect.
Roger, I want to ask something. I want to ask you something. Finishing up from the other segment was, David, when... just because someone loses income or there's a change in income doesn't necessarily mean it's permanent,
not
right?
At all.
So it can be temporary. So then we're looking at a different way of handling it. How do we handle it if it's just a, for example, I had a gentleman like others over the holidays back in December with his job, the weather changed, different things like that. So they cut their hours. What do you do then? And you get behind, or you're going to get behind, you know you're going to get behind, and you're not sure how your hours are going to ultimately be affected. Still need to take action, because otherwise a contempt enforcement action could lead to all kinds of things, but including suspension of your license. So how do you treat that?
Well, you need to, again... right when something changes. So let's say your child support was based on a substantial amount of overtime. Let's say you work for one of the package carriers and you got divorced, or child support was established during the months of November through December. And you're paying this high amount, and then the next November, December, it goes around, everything's fine. But then your overtime has been cut due to other employees being hired or just no overtime available. You need to seek counsel, or you need to file a motion to abate or temporarily toll the child support. And what that will allow the court to do is kind of put a stopgap, saying we're not going to enforce the child support at this point. In other words, we're not going to say you're in contempt. We're not going to say that your license is suspended, and we're not going to seek other enforcement remedies that might be available to the receiving spouse. We're going to give you an opportunity to get your income back to where it was when you established child support. But I always encourage my clients that in that situation, if you feel that overtime is no longer going to be available to you, not only do you file the motion to abate or toll the child support, but you also file a supplemental petition to modify the child support so that you have that line in the sand saying, if my overtime does not come back, I can reach back to the date of filing and adjust my child support, whether it's up or down. Robert?
Absolutely. And you know, what you were saying about taking action, and I guess we got to this before, there's a number of things that keep people generally from taking action. One is money, the thought that it's going to be too expensive. Second, I call it a fear. For a lot of you, many of you have gone through the system before, you may not have had a good experience for whatever reason. And the idea of going back through it kind of rekindles those thoughts that, well, it didn't work out well the first time. It may not work out well the second time. That's not at all the case. Typically, the issue now is much more defined. Last is, and you've probably seen this too often as well, Dave, someone waits, they do half an attempt. Then they get hit with another one.
Okay, it sounds like Robert is breaking up significantly. He's saying things that are germane to the discussion. Big lawyer courtroom word.
You
there.
And I, they had, oh yeah, if they had proactively taken action, they wouldn't have been in it at all. And getting the rough side of the court, right? So the idea is take action, take action, take action, do it now. But not so easy though, right? Go ahead.
It's not so easy. Again, whether you have an attorney or whether you are representing yourself, we call that pro se, representing yourself, you need to file the supplemental petition to modify child support. And that's whether you are the receiving spouse or the paying spouse. You need to file that document with the court to say, court, there is a permanent, substantial, material change of circumstances that we need to readdress the child support. And that could be numerous issues. That could be a change of income. For the person receiving child support, that could be because the paying spouse is no longer exercising timesharing as ordered per the court. That could also be because daycare is no longer as high as it used to be. It could be a number of factors. Your child could develop a situation where they have reoccurring expenses, whether there's a medical or a special needs, educational plan where they have a number of tutorings per week that they have to take to be able to be successful in education. So file that supplemental petition to either increase or reduce child support as soon as the event occurs. Now, I caution you, the minute you lose your job, don't file the next day. Try to make good faith effort to find a job, a like job, that's going to have like income. If you are unsuccessful and the only job you can get is substantially less, that's when you file. But I do implore the paying and the receiving spouse to seek counsel before you file that petition, because competent counsel will be able to run a hypothetical child support number using your income and possibly the paying or the receiving spouse's income to determine what the child support might be. If we have good numbers, these are hypothetical, so we're hypothesizing what the incomes are of the parties. But it has to change 15% of $50 up or down to be able to be on modification. All too often, is we see people come in, they file, and child support changes $40 or 9%. There's no modification. I see that all the time in mediations. Do we end up settling? Yes, we end up settling in mediation. But those are where you really need to see competent counsel who uses the programs that the court's using in your jurisdiction, whether that's the Divorce Power Analyzer or Florida Child Support in a different jurisdiction. Make sure that attorney is competent in using those programs. Make sure they understand how to impute your incomes, whether it's self-employment, whether it's W-2 income. Make sure they understand how daycare effectuates child support and how your tax implications. Robert?
Let me ask you this, David. A big one. This time of year, and I probably hear it more than ever at the beginning of the year, people who have come through the end of the year, they've taken their bruises, what they liked, what they didn't like about visitation issues. And then they get to the point where the shoe doesn't fit quite so good. And now there's been some experience, and the parties have not done a good job yet of how to figure out the application of the guidelines. So in the next segment, let's talk about PCs and, you know, the parenting coordinators, their role, how to effectively use them, that sort of thing. But in terms of modification, which is kind of the A step that people are thinking, before we get to a PC, well, maybe I need to modify this, and let's just fix these problems. Not all problems can be fixed in that manner through a modification. Is that right?
You're absolutely correct. Now, we have transitioned from the easy, not so easy modification of child support when we're talking about numbers. And when I say it's easier when you're dealing with W-2 incomes versus self-employment incomes versus employments with commissions incomes and seasonal work, to the much more difficult modification of time sharing. When you're talking about time sharing, and Robert, I'm sure you've had this in your situation, a father has come in saying that he wants to modify time sharing because my children want to see me more. Now, Robert, in your experience, is that factor alone enough to modify time sharing?
No. And thus where the issues kind of begin. Like in that scenario, you start getting into, well, why do they? Now, this is where it may. every coin has two sides. I just heard today, and you may have heard this, and this may help shed light on that example. For whatever reason, it was in the news, because every now and then they just pick up on something. This child getting into four car accidents, and allegedly the reason he's getting into the car accidents, says the mother, is because he wants to come back to stay with her, and she's looking to modify, because if she doesn't, he's going to continue in this vein, not to mention, you know, things aren't working out the way they're supposed to, and it requires a modification. Now, kind of like the example you used, very generic, but that's not necessarily what's going to get us where we're supposed to go. So what I try to find out is, and in your example, why is that? Why is that happening? Is that his belief? Is that his thought? Is that something even someone is saying to him? Oftentimes it's family members, relatives saying, you need to get in there more. One real life scenario that I see come up quite a bit when that issue is there can come from one of two ways. The children are getting older and their needs are changing, and there's a reason for it. The other is that maybe he was working a lot and now his job has decreased substantially, and now there's more time available. And this is the one that really gets everyone. The judges go through and tell everyone that the guidelines set just the minimum. So they understand that to mean that's just the minimum. So then when they move to venture out to get more, what happens? The answer is no. So they go back and forth, and then eventually when the ball doesn't move forward, the answer is now, you know, let's go back and try to expand the strike zone. So that's usually the two ways I see the frustration manifest in, you know, where the parties can't resolve something that ought to be resolved. It ends up coming back, and it ends up back into the, you know, into the litigation for some type of judicial resolution if the court doesn't grant a motion to dismiss.
Well, you know, Robert, is when we talk about modification of time sharing, and we're talking about after the judge or the parties have agreed to a final judgment and a parenting plan that establishes a minimum amount of time that the parent exercising time sharing will see the children. Now we're talking about how do we get into court to modify that? You know, whether it's based on, like you said, a change in working schedule, whether it's a change in the child's desire. It could be a situation, a criminal situation with the other spouse or the spouse exercising time sharing. The number of reasons to modify child support is to infinity and beyond, again, to quote Buzz Lightyear. But we have to look at those before we jump into the court. And I think a lot of attorneys in Jacksonville, or at least our circuit, a lot of attorneys jump and they file a supplemental petition to modify time sharing when it is not proper. They're really seeking to modify the shared parental responsibilities or to enforce the shared parental responsibilities. Because once your child starts acting out, once your child starts developing behaviors or habits, a lot of times those might not be because of the parent or what the parent is or is not doing. It's because we have children that are getting older and their needs are getting bigger, and we need to have more involvement with the parents.
Okay, we're up on a hard break, gentlemen, with 30 seconds to this hard break. We'll break for news and then be back with more of The Lawyer's Edge with Robert Slama and David Trotty. Taking your calls as well if you have any legal questions at 904-222-TALK, 904-222-8255. We will be back with more of The Lawyer's Edge on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Talk Radio WBOB. The Lawyer's Edge is on with Robert J. Slama and David Trotty. I'm Roger Henderson, learning a lot about child support. Unfortunate reality of life when couples, things don't work out. What is the percentage of couples that get married and things don't work out and they get divorced?
You know, I actually read an article this past week where they said since 1980, the numbers of parties divorcing is actually downed.
That's good.
I was surprised. But I have to say, and I haven't, you know, there was no statistics in there, but I have to say, the number of parties who never get married and have children is probably increased.
That's probably one of the reasons why it's down, is people right. are just saying, I don't want to deal with this. Now, do you ever have situations where couples, I've heard stories of this, but I don't know of any specific cases, where couples never actually legally get married, and then, you know, the guy and the girl, they break up, you know, instead of having a marriage license, they do the postal change of address thing, where one of the parties ends up having to pay alimony after they split up as a couple, but they were never legally married.
No.
Common law marriage, that's not actually true, is it?
We're not common law here in Florida.
Okay.
So fortunately, in Florida, we don't have to deal with that. I'm sure in other states.
But child support would certainly go into play, regardless if you're married or not, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Child support is a huge issue. You know, a lot of us as men think that child support is a sentence. Child support is there for the children. It's there to fulfill their basic needs. And I understand when you're paying child support and you're paying whether it's $300, $1,000, $1,500, whatever the number is I really want you to take that number. Number one, if there is a daycare component, I want you to take that daycare component out of that child support figure and say, I was going to pay that daycare amount no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was married or together with my children's mother, I was going to pay that daycare amount no matter what. The rest of the child support figure, a portion of it is going to be for health insurance. So the child care component is going to be your pro rata share of the child care. Then there's a component for health insurance, and that component is also a pro rata share, meaning your percentage of income of the total income share of the child's health care needs. So you have two components of child support that are going right to cost. But you're saying, well, I'm paying the mom this child support, or possibly I'm the mom, I'm paying the dad this child support, and it's not fair. Well, two big components of your child support figure are cost, direct cost to third-party providers. So if you really look at it, especially when you have these children that are 1, 2, 3, possibly 4, and they don't, possibly this kid doesn't get into VPK until they reach 5 because of the age cutoff. Daycare and child care is expensive.
Yeah.
It is $800, $900, $1,000, $1,200 a month for this child care. It's unfathomable.
Okay, now let me ask you this. I know Robert's on the line rating. He's chopping on the bit. But let me just ask you this one last question. I'll get out of the way because I know a lot of guys are thinking this right now. They get emotionally invested in having to stroke that check every month to their ex-wife or their ex-girlfriend, who then, in his mind, takes the money. And then she goes out to dinner. He's paying the bill with her new boyfriend. How do you address that?
I tell my clients.
And you can't stop that. You know, she can do what she wants with the money.
Some of my clients come in with these checks written, and they bring their carbon copy of their checks written, and the indention on the carbon copy of their check is so deep when they write that check. You know, what I have to tell my gentlemen who are paying child support, and some females that are paying child support, is forget about it. You are investing in your children. It doesn't matter if the other spouse is, number one, you don't know what they're using that money for, but the courts don't care. The statutes don't care if they take that check, go to a cash checking place, go get their nails done, you go and grab a beer with your buddies. They don't care. As long as you are providing the basic needs for your children, that means a roof, food, if there's a child care, you're paying your child care out of that child support check, health insurance, you're maintaining the health insurance out of that child support check, you're maintaining the basic needs of that child, okay? So that's what child support's for. I remember when I first started practicing in, early 2000, and on, we would have these cases, and we'd have gentlemen actually go to court, but she's getting her nails done. The kids need a haircut. Well, the kids need to be groomed. You're absolutely right. But let's fast forward to 2010 when the statutes changed, and when a lot of dads started getting more time sharing with their kids, what we call substantial time sharing. Well, with the substantial time sharing, our statutes in 2010 had a component where the child support was modified deviated, okay, because of the substantial time. Well, now these child support checks that were $9, $11, $12, $1,500 a month dropped. The bottom dropped out. Now they're $400 or $500 a month, $100 a month, $26 a month. So this dad or mom is getting this time sharing, and typically in the four judicial circuits, and now adopted by the seventh, it's Thursday overnights, one overnight per week, long weekends, Friday to Monday, half the holidays, half the summer, about 40-41% of the time when you overlap school years. Mm-hmm. Be that as it may, the child support statute never adjusted. There is a line in there that says, with a substantial time sharing, and child support gets deviated down so far that you cannot support the basic needs of the child, you need to ask. That means the paying parent, the parent receiving the child support needs to ask the court to deviate upwards, saying this $26, this $100, this $200 a month child support is not assisting me, and I cannot support the basic needs of the child because of the substantial time sharing. So you have to be mindful of the statute. The statute gives you the path, but you have to argue the path. So when we're talking about child support, get it out of your head that child support is for hair, nails, entertainment.
Or the new boyfriend.
Or the new girlfriend.
Okay.
Okay. It doesn't matter. As long as that parent receiving the child support is caring for the child. So here's a big issue that we have in today's society, where I was getting to with the substantial time sharing. Is parent A has the children the majority of the time. Majority of the time being right about 60%, just under 60%. The other parent has about 40%. You know, the Thursday overnights, long weekends, half the summer, half the holidays. That parent's, because the parties' incomes are substantially similar, child support's $1,500 a month, $200 a month. Minimal. You have one child. Children happen to be out of daycare. That's why it's so low. So, you have this after-school care, and here comes school supplies. School supplies, $100-$200 for the child. At school clothes, $100-$200 minimum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this person who is receiving child support is only receiving roughly $100 a month per month for the child. So where are the basic needs being provided for this child? Here comes the haircuts at $20. I'm talking about a male child. $15-$20 a month for a haircut. Talk about a female child. Every 6 weeks, she has long hair, or she has certain needs for her hair. That could be $40 or $50 a month. What about the clothing? Okay. So what our statutes do not provide for is that deviation for the substantial time sharing. Child support gets broken down, but we don't have the foundation to say, in those circumstances, the children still have basic needs. How do we handle them?
Okay, I think Robert Slama on the line wants to weigh in on that. Robert, what did you want to add to that?
I'm going to go Stephen A. Smith on him. Here's what's happening in reality, and this is how they work it out. This is what the problem is. One will say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pay for it. I'm going to wait until you have them and you do it. Even worse is, they send a message back with the child and say, you do it. And it goes both ways. So one may say, I'm not getting enough here, so I'm not going to pay for school supplies. I'm not going to pay for shoes. I'm not going to pay for haircuts. You do it. Then it lurks out there, and then it becomes, you know, a bone of contention. So if it's not being addressed, this is why I was saying in the beginning of this is what I call fix it. You're either going to resolve the problems one of two ways, actually three, but two ways. One is directly, one is in the streets, or ultimately in the courts. But what gets under people's skin, and that's what I was saying when you say that they don't understand it, people aren't stupid. I know when this person is receiving, say, not the $100 and $200, but they're making a pretty good income and they're getting $1,500. And what the person sees is new cars, trips, all this kind of stuff, and other things that aren't being taken care of. They're not being addressed. And so that's what makes people, somewhat infuriated and leads to other issues. But the thing, I guess, that we left out, one of the biggest issues, that's why the time sharing is so important. It's what the real division of time should be. Now, on that issue, there's the real concern.
Well, you can't. What I really implore you to do is do not
go to court, do not go to mediation, was seeking time sharing just to reduce child support.
Okay, we're up on another break right now. You are listening to The Lawyer's Edge with attorneys Robert J. Slama and David Trotty. And if you've got legal questions, they'll be happy to answer them for you this afternoon at 904-222-TALK, 904-222-8255. You're listening to The Lawyer's Edge at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, Talk Radio, WBOB.
A law firm dedicated to helping families. A law firm dedicated to you. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Hi, I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. For over 17 years, I've assisted the Jacksonville community by providing a full-service law firm for families, not the rich and powerful, but for everyday families like yours. Since 1998, I have handled some of the most complicated cases in Jacksonville, including Brenton Butler, and more recently, the jury verdict in Jermaine DeBose. Whether it's family law, including divorce, custody, or bankruptcy, juvenile law, personal injury, probate, civil rights, or not-for-profit and churches, I'm dedicated to helping your family with your legal needs. I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. Call me anytime. My number is 904-296-1050, or you may text me at 838-8607. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
The Lawyer's Edge is back here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, Talk Radio, WBOB. Robert J. Slama, who is out handling some very important family matters. And, of course, we're all praying for you, Robert, and our condolences out to your entire family. David Trotty here with us in the studios today, talking about some very important legal matters as it relates to a lot of people who unfortunately have their marriages dissolved, or they have children, and maybe they never even married each other, but they do have kids who need to be taken care of, and some of the legal implications and financial obligations that are required when things don't work out, but the kids still need to be taken care of.
You know, Robert hit on a very important issue that's near and dear to my heart. I mediate. So a lot of the cases that come in regarding children, and I'm a children first law firm, it's on all my business cards and coffee mugs and everything, is people are using children to reduce or to increase their child support, whether they're receiving it or paying it. And that is not the right approach with our children in today's society. Let me take a step back. You need to make sure your focus is right when you go to seek an attorney or you go into the family law court. If your time sharing or your ability to exercise the time sharing that you are seeking, make sure that you can actually exercise the time sharing with your children, that the time that you're going to have with your children is going to be meaningful, that you can be influential in their lives, not just a pillow to get the child support number down. So if you're coming home at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and you have 1, 2, 3-year-olds, that might not be the most productive or most meaningful way to have your children. It might be better to negotiate more weekend time sharing or when your time is off with the children, because you want to have waking hours with the children. That's the meaningful time. If you are going to go into court to fight for time sharing to reduce your child support obligation, that's the wrong mindset. And if you're going to go to court to fight to reduce the time sharing for the other spouse and limit time sharing, that is definitely the wrong approach.
You bring up a very good point, because people's job schedules change. My job schedule changed. I've got to be in bed now by 9 o'clock at night, up at 3-4 in the morning to be here. Thankfully, I'm not divorced, and my kids are all in their 20s now. But that would take away from the quality and time I would have available to father my children. And then also, we have a significant military population, guys and ladies getting deployed overseas, or they go out to sea. They're gone for months at a time, sometimes longer than that. How is that? I guess that's all taken in consideration with the courts.
Well, of course it is. Of course it is. We have 20 factors they look at, and one is the work schedule. But the work schedule is not the super factor, because you might have a 15-year-old child who is independent, able to come home, able to be get his homework done or her homework done, do their activities, eat dinner, and dad or mom are in bed at 9 o'clock for the early working hours, but they're mature enough, the children are mature enough to be able to get themselves up into school the next morning.
I see.
So it's not a super factor. Then you also have, when you have those children of that age, sometimes you have a spouse, a step-parent, where they can might house the children when they get up in the morning, get to the bus and that type of stuff. But what you want to make sure is when you are available for the children, it's meaningful. You don't want to be working a 10 to 8 o'clock at night job and expect to have meaningful time sharing with your children during the work week. So when you go into court and you make the argument, I should have the Fourth Judicial Circuit guidelines, which is that Thursday overnight, Friday to Monday, alternating holidays and weekends. That's not really feasible or functional for the children. And it's not in their best interest. It's not even in your best interest because you can't facilitate the time with your children. It just happens to be your work schedule.
Okay, Robert, you wanted to weigh in on that as well?
Oh, God, but this is the problem. The problem is that these guidelines are supposed to be flexible, but they're not. So, for example, though we portray them as being flexible and able to handle these situations, and it may be seasonal. It could be that same scenario you gave as far as work. Starting from the top, if you don't secure the time, then the child support is different. Yet, knowing that in the future something's going to change, but you don't know when it's going to change, how it's going to change, if someone disagrees that your change is not a, it's temporary change, but it's not a material and substantial change, then you're stuck. You're either locked out or you're locked in. But I mean, what causes all these conflicts and these rifts is that it's not as smooth as we tend to portray it. And if you're living it and you're walking in it, if you can't get help, as you've heard David say in the past, regarding co-parenting and people having the right attitude and the right thoughts when it comes to working out these issues, which are going to come up. They always do. If you don't, then you're forced to have to do it ultimately the long way, which is, pretty much it doesn't work well for anyone when you hit that point. But that's why it happens. It happens because you know the person you're dealing with on the other side. If they're not real helpful, they're not real flexible, and if they're not interested in evening, taking the rough edges off of it, as I say, then it's conflict, and then it leads to, ultimately, control. And all of that adds up to dollars and cents.
But Robert, some of this stuff, we're talking about modifications. And Robert makes an outstanding point. If you don't secure time sharing in the initial determination of the time sharing schedule, you are going to run up the hill, and that hill is a mudslide, and you're working against yourself because the burden of proving a substantial material permanent change of circumstances to change time sharing is enormous. But when you get a successful mediator and you have two good attorneys who are competent and you have the right mindset that you are not seeking time sharing to reduce child support or to get child support, you can build in factors in your parenting plan that establish substantial change of circumstances. You can agree on the substantial change of circumstances. Say, if my work schedule changes, I want this schedule. You can do certain things in mediation that a court cannot do. A court is not going to speculate and say, well, ma'am, if your work schedule changes, time sharing is going to be this. And, sir, if your work schedule changes, time sharing is going to be this. And when the children reach a certain age, time sharing is going to be this. The courts are precluded from doing that. They cannot do that. But in mediation, the clients, not the attorneys, the clients have 100% control to negotiate and determine what factors could be substantial change of circumstances that would warrant a modification. There are lots of times when we say time sharing is X when the children are 1, 2, 3, and 4 years old. Once they start VPK, what we call formal education or kindergarten, that's negotiable. then time sharing goes to a different schedule. Parents do this all the time. These are the things you want to talk to your attorney about to build into your parenting plan so you do not have to go against the mudslide when you're trying to change time sharing in the future.
David, what do you think? PCs. Let's talk for a minute. Now there's conflict.
There's never conflict, Robert.
Always. That's the one thing that there always is. There will be conflict. And not all conflict, by the way, not all conflict is bad. Conflict is how change comes about, depending upon how it's managed. But oftentimes in this setting, they're going back and forth, going back and forth. The judge eventually says, okay, looks like this is high conflict. Let's employ a parenting coordinator. Now the PC gets involved. Now you go from a, you know, what's the old saying? Two's a crowd, three's a party. I mean,
well, I think parenting coordinators.
In a party.
Robert, we're losing you. I'm a parenting coordinator, and I think we have a place. There are a lot of great parenting coordinators here in Jacksonville and Duval County, Clay County, Nassau County, St. John's County, a lot of great ones. But here's the problem with parenting coordinators, not them as parenting coordinators, but say I'm dad. Robert, let's say your mom for a minute here. Is we go into a parenting coordinator and we're having this issue because mom is just not flexible with let me bring Junior to T-ball on Tuesday even though it's not my scheduled night. And that's a parenting coordination issue. Well, what happens is the parenting coordinator makes, you know, kind of suggestions and everything else, and one of us, either the mom or the dad, doesn't like what the parenting coordinator is saying. Then we all of a sudden say he or she is biased. And it's a total breakdown in the system. If we had some parenting coordinators that had a little bit more gump and they could make some decisions and a little bit more reporting, I think it would be better. I don't think parenting coordinators are used enough here in the Fourth Judicial Circuit. But they have their place, and you're right. Conflict is always causing a problem with time sharing. But I think if the parents keep an open mind, they can work out any issue.
Okay. Now, where's the line drawn between, which I think is a very substantial issue, and we won't have enough time to finish it, but today, when it relates to time sharing, a parenting coordinator giving input to help resolve the issue, but they're not a judge, they're not a jury, ultimately, it may require that there are systemic problems in the agreement itself, and it requires changes, and that the parties go back to mediation versus arguing back and forth to a one person, mediator of who may consider himself to be a mediator when he's a parenting coordinator, not necessarily a mediator.
Absolutely, I think a parenting coordinator in a collaborative law sense, you can use a parenting coordinator and a mediator, but if the parties could consent to a mediation arbitration situation and determine that arbitrator has some say in some time-sharing issues, not ultimate say because a judge has the ultimate review, I think you can get through a lot of issues. Now, we're ending up this segment, and that is another topic that we might want to bring up next week, Robert, is parenting coordinators, mediators, arbitrators. What is their place? What is their purpose in time sharing?
Okay, guys, it's been a really interesting hour. We've got to wrap up right now, but this has been a very informative edition of The Lawyer's Edge with Robert J. Slama and David Trotty here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Talk radio, WBOB. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday at 2 o'clock for another edition of The Lawyer's Edge.